And thus, the dreadful accounts of that day that we will never forget 18 years ago. And, you know, we didn't know what it was. We didn't know what was going on. I was making my entrance way into the city that day. I'd just gotten dressed and everything else. And, of course, you know, you turn on the TV and you think, okay, something has happened here with a building, somebody, some sort of an explosion. We didn't know exactly what went on, but in the next hour or so after we had all tuned in, we all know all too well what was to take place. Sal Nicosia starts us off today. You know him well, former congressional candidate. He is a best-selling author, Empowering Our Children, a book that pretty much is in every school across Long Island. If it is not in every school, it will be. And, of course, a mentor in the Patchogue Medford School District for over 30 years. Our pal, Sal Nicosia, who has accounts as well from that day 18 years ago. We welcome him. Sal, how are you? How you feeling there, my friend?
Good morning. This is great to be here, Jerry. My son Joseph took me here, so he's in the studio with me. My son Joseph is a teacher, and he was in Florida at the time, but when I was talking to him about being on the Jay Oliver Club, so I asked him, I said, would you like to come and share the day with me? He said, sure. And he's here right now. We were talking to Mike, one of the control people, and we had a very nice conversation about what my son's impressions were of the event.
Well, it's great to have you and Joseph and Sal. You know, I mean, listen, you have some accounts from 18 years. By the way, before we get into that, a lot of people always ask me how you are doing. You are still one of the favorites here of the show. Just give the audience, you know, a little update health-wise and everything else. I know you've been battling, but boy, I tell you, no one tougher than Nicosia. Just kind of give us an update.
Well, I'm here this morning. I woke up at 5 o'clock. My son picked me up at 6:30. I feel great. I eat well. I sleep well. I'm at peace with the world. And I can tell you I'm still very articulate, as you can see. And soon I'll be going with my son to Florida in November to see our family. So I'm going to take a small trip there for 2 weeks. And I'm great. I thank the people who I know have been sharing prayers. I had pneumonia a couple of times in the recent past, but some of it wasn't a very serious case of pneumonia, but I did have some hospitalization. But after all, 92 years almost, and you're bound to wind up in a hospital once in a while, and that was one of the occasions. I haven't been able.
Nobody tougher than you, Sal. Take me back 18 years and everything else. Where were you? I know you had a family member in and around. Give us a couple stories there.
All right. Now listen, let me tell you something. I woke up that morning anxious to go to New York with a gentleman named Donald Whiteneck. He was a supervisor of a building in the 50s, right near the St. Patrick's Cathedral. And they were capping the building. And capping means that they're having a celebration that they're almost finished. And he was a supervisor. So he gave me a hard hat and invited me to go. So I took the Long Island Railroad with him. I walked from 34th Street to that building. We went up to the 50th floor. And we used the elevator from the outside. There was no elevator in the inside yet. And basically, for some reason or another, we were going to celebrate that thing. And all of a sudden, I have, looking at the skyline, I'm seeing this plane circling the building, the towers, and crashing into it. I actually saw it from about 2.5 miles away, but I had an air view. I says, my God, look at that. And then another crash. And I didn't realize that my niece, Rosalie, who worked in the second building, was working and didn't even know that the first plane had crashed into the first building. And then when my nephew Matthew, when he called him, he says, get out of that building. And the other girls that were there didn't pay attention to her. And she went down the stairs and was rescued and brought out. And some of the debris from the building of the first one was falling on her as she fell, as she went out of the building. And fortuitously, she had some very, vivid memories of that event, which were not pleasant for her, even to this day. So that was the occasion of my niece, Rosalie, who at that time was in her 20s. So that's the thing. And basically, I can tell you that afterwards, they cordoned off all the buildings from City Hall down. And people were running, and then you could see the rescue workers. So that's part of the memories I have of that thing personally with my niece. She's told me many times, and my son knows it even more because they're first cousins, and he shared it. And today, Mike and her, my son, he actually read the book too about that incident. It's a day we really don't want to remember, but we have to, because several thousand people died at the occasion, and then later on, the rescue workers themselves had exposed themselves to the carcinogenic material that was falling out of the building from the building materials, and they also, not right away, but contracted cancer, carcinogenic material, and diseases, and died. Firemen, there's stories, heroic stories of men, firemen and policemen coming from the Brooklyn area through the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel to go there to rescue people. Heroism stories galore at the time. And I think I remember that there was no commercials after that for a day or two because of the severity of the disaster that had taken place in New York. Mayor Giuliani was there, and then George Washington Bush, not George Herbert Walker, walked there and with his bullhorn talking to the people that were rescuing. And that's the vivid memories that you'll never forget as long as you live, if you were there or watching TV. So I'm sure there's a lot of families who are recalling very, very soberly about the tragedy that affected their families, with the 3,000 people that died.
Question, Sal Nicosia with us, kind of bringing us back 18 years, where he was and everything else, family member and around you with. You said you had seen it airborne.
Yes.
It's interesting because, we never had this to look upon from way back. So we're all wondering, okay, maybe an accident of some kind here. But, the last thing on our mind was, hey, we're being attacked on our own soil. We never thought that. But, you witnessed something like this firsthand. You're in the city and you had just no realm of what was to come, I would imagine, right? I mean, pretty much you thought it was just something happening into the towers.
Exactly. And then, of course, when you read the narration of the story that happened that day, not only were the two buildings destroyed, but there was this heroic story about the people that were in a plane heading for Washington to do the White House, and they commandeered themselves into the plane and killed the pilot and the other people, or at least knocked them down, and the plane crashed into the farmlands of Pennsylvania. And another one, of course, actually reached the Pentagon and went in and killed a number of our men and women that worked in the Pentagon. But I think the important thing to realize here is that nobody could ever conceive such an event taking place at that particular time. It was a beautiful day, I remember, because I was up on the building being capped, and it was a great day, gorgeous day. The temperature must have been about 70, 75 by the time that plane crashed.
100%. It was blue skies and everything else, sunshine. It was one of those days, it was still, right there, kind of end of summer and everything, very warm, we all know. And lo and behold, we know what happened. Sal Nicosia with us. Great lineup today. Angie Carpenter coming up in a couple of minutes. Tim Oliver, Ray Cooney, Captain Robert Cornicelli, all on a 9/11 as we kind of look back in time and see what it was all about and everything else. And really a day we will all never forget, and so much has taken place. Sal, when you look back and see, even to today, you look at the Zadroga Act, we look at the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund, and we look at the people that responded, those who have perished even to this day, as you mentioned, the carcinogenic type materials and everything else. It's almost as if we can't help but be reminded. And in essence, you know, that's kind of a sign that, you know, some things maybe happen for a reason, you know, in essence, when you look back at things.
Well, you don't, if I'm correct, 911 is the number you call for police, for police action to call to respond to an event that needs attention. So that it's so ironic. 9/11/01. You know, that's a date that can't be forgotten, and so many people are written in on a like a monument that they built there to commemorate and honor the people that died there, unfortunately. And my niece, you know, would have been a great guest because she was there, but she's in New Jersey, so it would have been hard to get her to, but. She's very vivid. She's still working now. She's self-employed, and she works in the Woolworth building right across the street from where. So she's a New Yorker through and through, even though she lives in New Jersey.
No doubt. But I'll tell you, the memories she must have as well.